It was amazing in the recent passing of George H.W. Bush to see many people, even on the left, come out and praise him. It was actually kind of surprising because during his lifetime, it didn't seem to be like that, especially not when he was in the presidency. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dr. Paul Kanger. He's one of my favorite guests. He's an historian, he's an author, he's a columnist, and he's a professor of history and political science at Grove City College, which is in the greater Pittsburgh area. Well, actually about north of Pittsburgh by about maybe an hour if you're driving. Dr. Kanger, great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, hey, anytime, Jerry. Always good to be with you. Thanks.
Sure. Now, you wrote a piece for, I believe it was American Spectator, about Maxine Waters. And while she might have said some positive things about Bush after he passed, she certainly said some negative things about him many, many years ago during the Bush versus Clinton contest of 1992.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, she right now, Maxine Waters is very fond of saying nasty things about Donald Trump and calling him a racist. And people probably think, people on the left might be thinking to themselves, well, that's because, you know, Donald Trump is a racist, and by golly, he deserves it, and Maxine would never say something like that unless it was absolutely true. And I wanted to pause to remind people that in this time when people are rightly showering praise on George H.W. Bush as a man of decency and civility, which he indeed was, that Maxine Waters called George H.W. Bush a racist. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that she does. It's unfortunately the kind of thing that people on the left do all the time. They're so reckless with the charge that it's pretty hard to take them seriously. But she said it. It was reported in the July 9th, 1992 Los Angeles Times. And the headline, it said, Representative Maxine Waters on Wednesday branded President Bush a racist who has polarized the races in the country. And she said that she wanted to say, quote, very clearly that I believe George Bush is a racist. I believe he's a racist for many, many reasons, unquote. And the Times even noted, Jerry, that there were wide-eyed stares from the audience, which was probably a very liberal audience. It was at the National Press Club in Washington. But she doubled down. She said Bush is, quote, a mean-spirited man who has no care or concern about what happens to the African-American community in this country. I truly believe that, unquote. So that's the kind of thing that this woman has been doing for literally almost 30 years.
Didn't George H.W. Bush, as a congressman, he was a congressman, right? I think it was only one term, from Texas. And wasn't there something he did that caused him to actually be opposed by racists because it was, you know, in favor of civil rights at a time when it wasn't popular to everybody?
Yeah, I don't know what exactly that is you're referring to, but I'm sure it's true. And, you know, this is a guy that nobody ever thought there was a racist bone in his body. Going back from his time in Texas to his time in New England, growing up in New England, and, you know, when he was running against Reagan for the Republican nomination in 1980, you know, he was seen as the moderate, right? And, you know, George H.W. Bush, if he was ever criticized on the right, which he was, it was that he was a squish, that he might have been a liberal Republican, right? So, but the, you know, the idea that anybody would call him a racist, it's just ridiculous. It was unheard of. And my point with the Spectator piece is that these people have really cried wolf. And they not only did they call George H.W. Bush a racist, Maxine Waters, but liberals en masse said that about Ronald Reagan. Mm. And you remember this, Jerry. You're like me. You're old enough to remember this. When Ronald Reagan wasn't exactly enthusiastic about a national holiday for Martin Luther King Jr., you know, they just said, oh, that's because he hates black people. That's the kind of stuff that they do, right? When in fact, Reagan, like a number of people on the right, had certain concerns about Martin Luther King Jr. and on the Vietnam War, on the communist issue, and so forth, and whether or not those concerns were justified or not, it was just typical of the left to say, oh, well, you oppose that because you hate black people. That's the kind of stuff that they do all the time. Ronald Reagan, who was never bothered by any insult, Reagan did say that the one thing that really bothered him was when people suggested that he was racially bigoted or insensitive. Because going back to his time in Dixon, Illinois, with his devout Disciples of Christ mother, Nell Reagan, Reagan was way ahead of his time on these racial issues, had black friends. There's a famous anecdote where Ronald Reagan is part of a traveling group. It's a football team. It's with Eureka College. And they wouldn't let the black boys on the team stay at a hotel in northwestern Illinois. So Reagan brought them to his home in Dixon, and they spent the night at his home. And his mom saw them at the door and said, come on in, boys. You're welcome here. But Reagan becomes president in the 80s, and because he's a Republican and a conservative, what do liberals do? They label him a racist. So they did it to Reagan, they did it to George H.W. Bush, and now they want to hold up Bush as a model of civility and decency. Well, what about the uncivil and indecent people in their own camp who smear people with these nasty character attacks and aspersions like Maxine Waters?
Mm. That's true. You know, by the way, speaking of Reagan, when he died, I remember picking up a student newspaper from FSU, Florida State University, in Tallahassee. And here it was in 2004. And they were praising the deceased president. Okay, he had been out of the office since 1988. You know, it was almost like 16, 17 years ago. He'd had the big, long battle with Alzheimer's and so forth. But they were praising him, and I said to my wife, boy, I guarantee you, if we were at FSU visiting the school during the 1980s, when Reagan was in the White House, there would be a lot of criticisms against him. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. He's anti-woman because he's not right. In favor of abortion rights, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly right. And you know, they are the boys and the girls who've cried wolf. And yeah, I like to tell this to liberals when they'll listen to me that there's a danger to this, which is that when the real McCoy does come along, and it's funny because they're at the point now where they think that in Donald Trump that by golly they have a real racist on their hands, which they never said about Robert Byrd, who is a Grand Kleagle of the KKK, of all things, right? But you know, now that they think that they have a real racist in Donald Trump, and they're crying race again, and they can't believe that people who support Trump are such Kool-Aid drinkers and blockheads that they can't see this. And, well, what I'm telling them is when you call everybody a racist that you don't like, then you know that people aren't going to take you seriously if and when the real McCoy does come along, which is not to say that Trump is a racist, but that's again, that's what they do, and they're a victim of their own viciousness.
What do you think about that phrase, identity politics, and how does that relate to this discussion?
Yeah, today's modern left is really addicted to identity politics, and I mean, you and I remember in the 80s and the 90s, in fact, the George H.W. Bush years, people like Dick Gephardt, and you know, who was running against Bush in 1988, 1992, a lot of what they were doing back then was class warfare. It was rich versus poor. It was economic stuff. And so you know, that was really, it was that card that they were playing. But today's modern Democratic Party now, they seem to have forgotten a lot of the economics, union, tax stuff. And now they're focused more than anything else on race, gender, and sexual orientation. I mean, that seems to be almost their you know, their personal holy trinity. They are obsessed with race and sex and gender, which is why you and I have talked about this before. If you go to the websites of People's World, the Trotskyist Workers' World Party, Communist Party USA, the far left, they're not even talking about traditional Marxist class ideas. They're focusing on LGBTQ stuff. They're focusing on gay marriage. They're focusing on transgenderism. And you know, they've even now roped that into their identity politics. So that, that seems to be their current obsession politically and ideologically.
Mm. That is very interesting. So ultimately, a lot of this just gets back to cultural Marxism.
Yeah, well, I think so too. And with the modern left, it's less, you know, it's the economy stupid, right? Economics, economics, economics. It's culture, culture, culture. And today's Marxists, they're not really talking much about the traditional Marxist concerns that Marx and Engels were talking about when they were writing in the Industrial Revolution. People would say, well, of course, Ken, we're not in the Industrial Revolution right now. Yeah, but I mean, they're not even focusing on class and economics. They're focusing much more on culture, gender, sexuality, race. What Antonio Gramsci talked about, the long march through the institutions, cultural hegemony. That seems to be their primary focus today.
Yeah, and this is why institutions like the church, the family, the idea of one nation under God, all of those things are essentially targets, if you will, it seems to me.
Right, that's right. And Marx and Engels did write in the Communist Manifesto about the abolition of the family.
Yeah.
They actually use that word, yeah, abolition of the family.
You wrote a whole book about it called Takedown. In fact, our ministry offered that book, the D. Yeah. James Kennedy Ministries. Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah, thank you. And Marx also talked about, and he wrote this in a letter. This was published, I think, after the Communist Manifesto. But he talked about the ruthless criticism of all that exists, the ruthless criticism of all that exists, and he said the communists seek to abolish not just the family, but also traditional morality. So their goal here, while economics, class-based Marxism was what they were writing about during the Industrial Revolution. Marx and Engels were also focused on family, tradition, and religion, all of which was cultural, social, moral, and religious as well. So even as I'm saying that today's Marxists are much more interested in culture than the traditional Marxists were, and they are, we've got to give Marx his due here, in the sense that he was going after culture too. And he really believed that in order to effect a fundamental transformation, you had to go not just after the factory bosses, but you had to go after God. You had to go after religion and the family and traditional morality.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. I saw a quote attributed to Marx. Is this accurate? And your comments on it. The first battlefield is the rewriting of history.
Huh, wow. Yeah, he probably did. I can't confirm that one off the top of my head, but he believed in the historic inevitability of Marxism, of his ideas. And he believed that we were passing from a series from feudalism to capitalism to socialism to communism. So this was part of the Marxist dialectic, was this historical inevitability of the communist revolution. Mm-hmm. So he very much thought of himself and his ideas in that very grandiose way.
Wow. And in reality, you know, it's just like one Catholic couple said, and this was quoted in the National Review, they said, when the Soviet Union finally collapsed, what did they have to show for 70 years of communism? Nothing but tens of millions of corpses. I've never forgotten that quote, man. It's amazing.
That's good.
Dr. Paul Kanger, visionandvalues.org for more information. Paul, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
All right. Anytime, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you now.